There's going to be a lot of bumps in the road. You're going to want to build reserves. And then something's going to come up that wasn't planned. And that's going to eat into your cash flow. It's going to eat into your returns. And that's why also why it's a great reason to be a limited partner. As a passive investor, a limited partner, you get paid first.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Multifamily Monday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What is going on, everyone? You know the drill. Every Monday, we come at you with an episode on everything multifamily apartment investing. And today, it's a solo show. But before I get into that, you guys know the fee. You get value from this show, please share this with a friend, colleague, family member, anyone who you think could get value from this. Just share with them. And if you wouldn't mind, also share it on your social media. We get out in front of more ears and eyes. And also, if you haven't left a review on Apple Podcasts, that also helps as well. So if you please take the time, that would be greatly appreciated. All right, everybody. Solo episode. Before I get into the main topic, I just wanted to hit on something. Back on episode 118, I did common mistake I see in underwriting. And that was in regards to loss to lease. Specifically, for those that aren't familiar with the term, first, I'll just define it. So you have your gross potential rent. That's the rent that you believe per unit you can achieve in the market. Not what the property is currently getting, but what you believe the market can achieve right now. And so you have that gross potential rent, and then you have your effective gross rent. And that's the rent the property is actually achieving. And how you get to that effective gross rent is obviously one, you subtract the vacancy, but you also subtract the loss to lease. And what the loss to lease is, that's the difference between what you're getting now and what you could get, what the market could allow, right? And so what people were doing is they were decreasing that loss to lease, right, to get it up to market. And they were putting on another rent growth factor, say 8-10%. And then also they would factor in that organic 2-3% growth as well. So it was exponentially growing rent at a rate that is not realistic, right? Because that loss to lease is factoring in your rent growth, right? So some people will underwrite without even the loss to lease. They'll just put in their current rents and then what they believe they can achieve through pushing that. It'll just be a rent growth factor, right? Well, some people are putting both of those together, and that obviously doesn't give you a true number. So that's what we talked about in episode 118. I go into a little more detail if you want to check it out. But another topic I wanted to talk about, a common mistake on rent I'm seeing before I get into the main item of today's show, also has to do with a certain aspect of rent growth. And that is, a lot of these calculators, models, tools, whatever you want to call it, the way they set it up is, so say you put in 8% rent growth for 1 year. Say year two, that's what you're going to get. What a lot of these calculators do is they start on day one of year two and all units get that 8% rent growth. Is that realistic? Of course it's not. You can't tell me that day one of year two, you're going to be able to increase every unit on average by 8%. It just doesn't work like that. Think about it. One, not every lease expires on the same date. So you're not going to be able to increase all rent on the same day. People are going to move and all that good stuff. So what you have to do, and also not every unit is created equally. Some you're going to renovate, some you're not. Some have a lot greater loss to lease than others. What you want to do in an ideal model is have it extrapolate whole year. Now you could do it, linearly as you're adding so much per month, what you think is realistic. And that's generally what we do. And that gives, obviously it's not going to be perfect because you can't predict, you know, what units you're going to increase when, right? But it's a lot better than saying you're going to increase every single unit day one of a given year, because that's just not going to happen. So if you slowly increase it over that year, it's going to give you a more realistic output. And yeah, it's not going to give you as good of a looking number in terms of a return profile. Of course not, because gradually increasing, whereas if you hit it all on day one, you know, you're going to generate a lot more revenue right out of the gate and then consequently for the whole year, right? Because you're getting the highest rent day one through day 365 for that year versus slowly growing it. So yeah, your IRR is going to be a lot higher because you're returning more money faster. So you got to be really careful with that. It'll make your IRR look a lot stronger. So that's another common thing I've been seeing. Obviously, that's not really a lot of people's fault because they're using someone else's model. They're not building their own, or they don't really necessarily care to know the ins and outs, the nuts and bolts. But I thought I'd jump on here and share that one. The main thing I wanted to talk about is, I know some of you just want to passively invest, but there are some of you that want to actively invest in real estate. You want to be a syndicator. You want to raise capital. You want to deploy that capital into a multifamily or another asset class in real estate, and you want to operate it and return your investors a solid return, which is all, it's admirable, right? That's what we do. Love doing it. But there's something I would love to share that I wish I knew before I started. And that's, it goes back to what we were just talking about, you know, a model. You see the numbers on the model. You see these returns. You see the cash flow that it's going to generate year one. You see your cut of the cash flow you're going to get, and everything looks golden, right? Like, okay, I'm going to budget my year X based on I'm taking these two deals down or this one deal down. I'm going to get X cash flow. This is going to be my budget for the year. And then what happens? First quarter in, no distribution to GP. Second quarter in, no distribution to GP. Third quarter in, no distribution to GP. Fourth quarter, maybe you're lucky, you got some, maybe not. And that's not to say that's going to go every way, but more often than not, that's how it's going to go. Especially in a market like this, where you're not getting a lot of fat deals, they're tighter, they don't cash flow as much. You're just not going to see that cash flow. It's not that it's not producing it. Maybe sometimes it's not, but a lot of the time it's just to build reserves or something comes up. You know, if you're doing smaller deals, maybe you don't have a big CapEx budget. Oh, dang, you got to replace a roof that you weren't expecting for another 3 to 4 years. Oh, you couldn't evict this tenant and they ate up a lot of your cash flow. And then once you did evict them, you discovered they stole all your plumbing. Now you got to pay that more plumbing it. That's a true story, by the way. It happened one of our properties. So you never know what's going to happen. And I've talked about this before. You can always bank on the cash flow. Yes, you build a stabilized portfolio. Yes, you can live off the cash flow. And a lot of people do. But out of the gate, do not plan to do that. Of course, it could happen. You could stabilize that thing so quickly and you could live off the cash flow. But more often than not, from my experience, from others that are seasoned that I've talked to, it's generally not the case. There's going to be a lot of bumps in the road. You're going to want to build reserves. And then something's going to come up that wasn't planned. And that's going to eat into your cash flow. It's going to eat into your returns. And that's why also why it's a great reason to be a limited partner, right? As a passive investor, a limited partner, you get paid first. Generally, if you're getting a pref, and even if not, like if you're investing with a good general partner, they should want to pay the LP, their passive investors, first. That's just the right thing to do. They're investing with you to get a certain return. And it just goes back to your reputation. Just got to do the right thing, right? You're a steward of their capital. So that's why it's great to be an LP. One, you don't have to worry about the headaches of having to deal with the bumps in the road, the unexpected circumstances, but you're going to see a return. So I was talking earlier about not getting paid out quarter by quarter. That was for the general partners, not for the limited partners. They're still getting paid the whole time. That's why it is great to be limited, but I still, a limited partner, but I still understand why if you want to be active. That's why I'm doing it. I love it. It's a game to me, right? It's fun. But I just wanted to get on here and let people know that it's not all sunshine and rainbows. There's bumps in the road, and you can't expect to just be cash flowing out of the gate. It just doesn't happen like that. It might take you 12 months. It might take you 18 months to stabilize. You just don't know. And especially when you syndicate, especially then, you can't bank on cash flow. There's going to be times in that first 12 to 18 months, if you're a syndicator, you don't have another source of income in your business where things are going to be tight, right? Maybe you got an acquisition fee right out of the gate that can buy you some time, but you better budget that thing because there's no guarantee that the asset you bought is going to pay you as a general partner right out of the gate. And I've seen it happen to myself, seen it happen to friends, I've seen it happen to other operators. You just can't bank on that cash flow. Now, once you build a sizable portfolio, and that's why you hear everyone talk about scale, scale, scale. You know, there's other means to generate revenue, right? You got an asset management fee, acquisition fees. And then once portfolio starts to stabilize, it does start to spit off some cash flow as well. And that's kind of how, at that point, then you're insulated, right? You've probably gone full cycle on a few properties. So you've gotten a chunk of capital, some which you've probably reinvested, but some which you've kept to fuel operations for a little while. But you're going to get to a point where you're not going to have to do that. Once you scale to a certain part, what you're collecting on your asset management fees and acquisition fees is going to drive a lot, cover a lot of your expenses, right? And then again, once you stabilize, there will be some more cash flow. Point is, don't get into this business thinking that you're going to cash flow day one, right out of the gate. and that's going to cover everything, because that's just not the case. And so you might ask, well, Sean, well, what can I do? What if I don't get an acquisition fee, or what if it's not that large? What if I don't have a piece of the asset management fee? What I would say is, one, if you're still working, you know, at a W-2 job, maybe you stay there a little longer to insulate you. Maybe you have to cover some of that small revenue or the small expenses you have for your syndication business. Or I've seen people wholesale or sell property. And that goes back to the conversation of, you don't have to hold everything. Sometimes you do need to go full cycle, sell some stuff, get some money back in your pocket to reinvest in your company. So again, this is a business. You're not just a real estate investor. You're a business owner if you're trying to do this for the long term. So what I've seen some successful people do is maybe they have a mailing campaign to buy multifamily, right? Not every deal is going to fit your buy box. So what they'll do is they'll get a list of other investors, and then they'll essentially just, you know, wholesale it, right? So if they send out mailers and they get, say, a 20-plex, but it just doesn't fit their criteria. Maybe it's not in the market they want. Maybe it's too deep of a value add play, too heavy renovations. They don't want to do that. Well, they know someone who does. They send it to them. Maybe they get $25,000 to $30,000 finder's fee type of thing. That can carry your expenses for a few months, right? And that's stuff you have to do. You have to be able to be tactical and flexible to make this last the long run. But trust me, once you get to a certain point, you know, once you scale to a certain point, revenue starts coming in different areas, and that scale really will just fuel you to grow. But I just want to get on here because I've seen this mistake, especially we're coming in at times where things are going to get tighter. You know, the market's contracting, we're in recession, inflation, things are more expensive, energy prices are going to go way up this winter. I think it's just to be smart, not bank on certain revenues that may not come, and have an ulterior way of getting through the storm. All right, everybody, this is a short one. Just want to get out here and share that because I just don't want anyone to lose their shirt, make a mistake that I've seen in the past, and just take advantage of it. And again, this is another great reason why it's great to be an LP. You don't have to worry about that. You're just doing due diligence on the general partner, on the syndicator, and they are worrying about all this stuff while paying you a great return. But everybody, thanks again for tuning in as always. Got some great interviews coming up, as well as some great solo topics as well. So as always, easy doesn't pay well, and instant gratification is self-destructive. So get out there and not only work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you, so you can get out there and create the life of your dreams. We can all make this world a better place. All right, everybody. Catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review, and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.